Do you hear me? How he carried you and you're here tonight? Amen? Amen? So what I want to do is I want to show you what he did to me and what he wants to do with you. So what happened was he said, Nancy, I'm going to help you. It's going to make it easier for them to step out because they're going to find out where their gifts are. He said, there's four ways to bring people into the house of God. Four ways. It's come down to a nutshell of four ways. So I'm going to pick some volunteers, okay? So would you help me? Would you come up? Okay, I'm going to pick somebody else. Mary Beth, come on up. Ann, come up. And why don't you come on up? Come on up here. Okay, just line up here.
I can't be here.
Why?
Because I'm old, and look at all these young people you have.
I need your maturity.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Amen. So you're going to be the first. You're going to be right here.
Excuse me.
Over here. I think that I'm going to move you to here. Okay? Just because I'm scared for you. Okay, so I'm going to move you over here. I'm going to move you to the end. Okay? Okay, so he's going to be the number one. The number one is acts of kindness. He's the one that's going to be kind because Pagan, is going to be coming through, and he's going to see that she's in need. She's a needy person, and so he's not going to say anything about God. He's not going to do anything to point to God, but his conduct and his kindness are going to demonstrate, because her soil is really hard, and he has to do a little breaking up, okay? The second one, she's going to seed. Now, she can only use one scripture. Only one scripture, and it's got to be a scripture that the pagan is going to go, oh, and it's going to get planted. Okay, that doesn't mean she's a Christian. It's just that something got in that little broken up ground, and maybe it's going to start growing. Amen? But you're not going to beat her over the head with the Bible. Amen? Now, you are different. His kindness is softened the ground. She planted a tiny seed, but now you're seeing that little seed is having a hard time growing because the ground is pretty rough. So what you're going to do is you're going to give her some scripture. You're going to talk about God. You're going to water her. You're going to cultivate her. Amen? And then you are going to be the harvester, the sickle, right? And this is what you're going to do. You're going to be, I'll give you the 20th floor in a hotel, and Pagan gets in that elevator with you, and you've got her on her knees by the first floor. And I'll be naming the floors as you're going. Okay? Okay. So are you ready?
Hey. I was just trying to come down here, and this lady was in my way, so I hope I didn't offend her, but she's just in my way. You would do that? Why would you do that? You don't even know me.
I just like being.
Where's the microphone?
That's just. Oh yeah. Hey.
Where is it?
I could be louder.
You could be louder.
Hey, watch Lisa run. Anyway.
What'd she say?
Watch Lisa run.
Pagan. There you go.
Pagan.
Yeah, what's your name?
I'm Doug.
Oh, hi, Doug.
Doug.
Yep, that's the name my mother gave me. She was wonderful. She was always trying to make sure that be wonderful to people, yep.
Well, mine didn't have that revelation, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, you seem kind of nice, I guess. And shy.
Oh, four is yours.
Okay, well, you know what? Nice to meet you.
Wait, yeah, invite her for coffee.
Invite her for coffee?
Yeah, invite her for coffee.
Do you like coffee? I know this is totally weird. I never do this, okay? But there's just something about you, and I think that I'd really like to get you a coffee today. Is that okay? Is that something you'd be...
Can you tell I like coffee? Because I totally love coffee.
If you didn't, I'd be worried.
Good point. Yeah, I'll have coffee. I'll have coffee.
Okay.
Awesome.
Joint around the corner.
Do they have joints, too?
Not at all.
Okay. Expression, right?
Humor, and I just, sorry, weird language.
That's all right. You know what? I mean, I'll do anything once, I guess. So, all right, well, coffee it is. No joint, just coffee. Oh. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Pagan.
Hi, Pagan. I'm Ian. How are you?
Hi. Hey, we got the same name.
Right?
Almost.
Wow.
Less
like
than
we're
Peg.
Related.
Well, I don't know about that, but you kind of remind me of this other coffee joint guy.
Oh,
Doug. His name's Doug.
Yeah, Doug. He's really nice. He's into the abundance of life. Yes, he loves to enjoy himself.
Oh. Well, I've never heard somebody described that way, but so you must know him, huh?
I do. Yeah.
Abundantly?
Yeah, he actually knows a friend of both of ours. His name's Jesus, and Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly. Abundant life, like, you know, not all weighty. You look kind of weighted down today. Are you sick? Do you have a cold?
Well, I'm not really sure.
Oh, no.
I mean, this doesn't happen very often, but I'm kind of speechless. You know, I don't know about this Jesus thing, you know, but I will say this, that you and Doug, there's something about you guys that are kind of similar. Are you related or anything?
No.
Well, you seem kind of alike. I kind of like you guys. You got
like
this. You got this like abundance about you. So.
Well, we're glad that you're here, and we're glad that we got to meet you.
Well, same. Likewise.
Maybe I can go to coffee with you guys.
Oh yeah! Rock on. Yes?
Peg Ann, you know, I ran into you the other day. Do you remember in Walmart?
Yes, I think I remember you.
You do?
I do.
What?
I remember you. You're very outgoing, and you, like, look me in the eyes like you make me nervous, kind of.
Well, I couldn't help but overhear your conversation with Anne, and she was talking about Doug and how you think that, you know, your names are like and you're, like, related. Even though I am not blood related to them, they are my family. Have you ever heard of that?
I just heard it just now.
You did?
I did.
What does being a family mean to you?
Well, what does it mean to you?
Well, to me, it means you have abundant love.
What? You guys, like, got the same dictionary or what?
Why did you say that?
Well, because it's, like, abundant love. What's the love? Yes, you know what? I will say you guys are kindness. They weren't talking about love, but they did mention Jesus, and I'm not really sure about that, but, you know, if... What about Jesus?
Jesus.
I mean, I...
Well, Jesus
like,
is
kinda...
part of this family, too. Would you like to know more about Jesus?
Okay, you are, like, blowing my mind. Yes, I would totally like to know more about Jesus because, like, you guys, there's something strangely awesome about you guys, and I don't know what it is, but you guys have me so curious. That's all I got to say about that.
Hi, Pagan. I've heard about you.
Yeah.
You're just a wonderful human being.
Listen, first,
I
wait.
I love you, and my Jesus loves you. No matter what you've done in dedicated your whole
I'm sorry life. I snapped at you.
25.
What?
Oh, keep going, keep going. I couldn't remember.
You have to push the button in the elevator. I learned that, so.
Well, I wasn't ready to go to one yet.
Oh,
so here
okay.
Here's
okay, well, so, like, I wasn't planning on being in the same confined area with you, so I'm really sorry that I snapped you the other day.
Oh.
It's really not my nature to apologize, but here we are.
Thank you so much for that, and you know that Jesus loves you, and that He wants you to be a part of His family.
Oh my gosh!
And I would just love to pray with you right now. Would you like to be prayed for?
Okay, so this must have something to do with Jesus, love, family,
yes.
Abundance,
and He wants to be
and abundance.
Yeah, and He wants you to be in His family.
Twenty.
You know, I don't know how to do that, but I will say that I kind of like your family.
Oh, yeah. We
I do.
We would love to have you be a part of our family.
Well, okay.
So then.
15.
No pressure. Push the pause.
Like NCIS, we can just shut it off for a minute.
10. 10. 9. 8.
Okay, so here we are. And we're headed for...
7.
For heaven.
Oh, seven. Heaven.
Yeah, 7 and heaven.
Is that what, like, Jesus...
Yeah.
Is that what this is all about?
That's what this is all about. That you would be accepted into our family. You would accept Jesus into your heart.
5.
You would...
Well, you know what? Sign me up, because I don't want to hit bottom without it.
Okay.
I'll help you, because we are family.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for...
Wait. Who's father?
Oh, Jesus is father.
Father, God, Jesus.
And the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit. They're all in the same family?
Yes. And all four of us and many, many, many more are in that family as well. And we want you.
Just like the army. You know what? I don't get it, but I'll do it. I'll do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sign me up.
You're a good sport. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Can I get that?
You can have that. My chains are gone.
Yay.
You guys can go ahead and sit down. But let me ask you, who do you think gets the credit for Sarah's soul being won?
All four people.
That's correct. Amen?
Hey.
Pagan, how are you doing?
You know what? Funny you should ask.
When did you move in this neighborhood?
Well...
Oh, my gosh. The last time I saw you, you were puking your guts out. How are you doing?
Yeah, well, I don't really remember that part of that night.
I know. You were out of it.
You know what? That is the old me. I know that's going to blow your mind, and I know this is really going to blow your mind, but I've got this whole new family. And you know what?
Wait. I heard about this community. Did they get you?
They did. They did, and it is the best thing that has ever happened to me.
I've been dying to know somebody I trust. So your life has changed? What's so different about it?
Well, I don't cuss.
Oh, my gosh.
And I feel like, you know what? I didn't really know that I was what they call a sinner, but oh, my gosh.
Let's go have coffee. I want to hear about it.
All right, you buying? Because I'm not fully delivered.
I have
yet.
A point of hope card. Amen? Amen? Do you know that... Who gets the credit for Sarah bringing me to the Lord? All of them. All of them. Amen? Because it's a multiplication of one house being built up. The kingdom of God being built up. And see, you got to count the cost. You counted the cost coming up here, didn't you? You know, you knew that you probably would be humiliated, but in a good way, right? How about you, Doug? That was really stepping out of your comfort zone, wasn't it?
Me too.
But I'm going to tell you what. When you start understanding what you're doing and how fun it is and how you build the house up with true believers, then the church start acting like it is a church. Amen? Then you'll understand that those two scriptures that are so dear to me that I shared here recently is, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I'll tell you what, thy word, that's telling you right there that you can't stay in the church where it's just always light. You've got to get out there in the darkness, and you have to trust him. You have to count the cost and trust him and have faith and believe that when you walk out there with the word of God, it's going to light the path before you, and it's going to be his path to his righteousness, not mine, not yours. Amen? He wants you to have that anointing in you so that wherever you go with that light, the cockroaches are running. You know, these four were out in the community, and they let their light shine. They, you know, it may seem like that was kind of easy, but I'll tell you what, when you come with such genuine love, you kind of confuse that pride. You kind of confuse all that doubt. When you get accepted, when the acts of kindness begin to soften your heart and you believe there's really something out there, you know, that's what happened to me when somebody threw that daisy over the wall. It was like they kept coming and throwing daisies over the wall till I wanted to see who was doing that. Until I finally moved things out of the way so that I could have, let them come into my life. But then when they got a little too close, I put those walls back in place. And then I found out I was more lonelier than I ever was because they made me realize I was lonely. And I needed friends. And I needed to follow the Lord. Amen? I needed to follow the Lord. And so that's what pulled me out. Was those acts of kindness that were toward me. Amen? And then there was another one that came along, and they did speak the word into me and made me start thinking. And then somebody really laid the word on me that I needed to get close to making a decision. And then I went to my husband, and I told him what I was going to do, and he said it was okay for me. He wasn't ready, but it was okay for him. So I became a Christian. And then after a while, I started having dreams about my husband because I didn't want to go without him. It started weighing on my heart seriously. And God started giving me dreams about my husband. And I had this sweet Catholic lady that lived across the street. And I'd go over and I'd say, I'm having these dreams about Henry. And every time I shared a dream, she said, you know what the Lord is trying to tell you? He's coming. Be patient. He's coming. So I started writing things in the bell of his hat. I started putting stuff in his pillowcase and under his sheet, little papers under in his lunch pail, underneath the paper that you put down in the bottom to put his lunch on. I just started putting that scripture, and I wrote it constantly, Colossians 1:9-12. And what it was is I was declaring that which wasn't as if it was. I started declaring over my husband he was going to be a leader. I started declaring the greatness that God was going to do through my husband. And then my husband became a Christian. And then my husband became an elder. You know where he started teaching? This is how humble my husband is. After he became a Christian, he wanted to serve. So we went to the pastor. I was already serving, and I was teaching first and second graders Sunday school. So he went and he said, I'll do anything. What do you want me to do? I'll scrub toilets. They said, well, right now our biggest need is helping in the nursery. And you're a guy. He said, I'll do it. I couldn't believe it. Henry went in there. He would change diapers. He'd burp them. He'd feed him the bottle. I mean, that is an awesome, humble man. Wouldn't you agree? And then, I mean, if they knew what they had in this brilliant man whose IQ is off the scales, and here he is in there just taking care of babies so the mothers could go to the big Sunday school class. Amen? Then they decided to move him to the teenagers. Then they moved him to his own teaching adults. Then they wanted him to preach. Then the leadership got jealous. And then they didn't want him to preach anymore, and they found all kinds of reasons not to let him preach. The pastor was worried that they'd start following Henry. He told Henry that. Then they started home cell groups, and they said, well, Henry, you can't start a home cell group, because if you start one out North Road, then the church is going to end up out there. So would you just be an elder in the church? Top elder in the Christian church in Alaska. First elder to be ordained. But they were fearful, jealous. Isn't that sad? Isn't that very, very sad? So Henry, one day, he decided we'll go to the Nazarene church. And so he resigned, because he knew that if he stepped back from his responsibilities, then everybody would just go back and, you know, complain. And, you know, he didn't want division. So he said, let's move to another church. And we moved to the Nazarene church. And we went there until we came, and he was the leader there, until it was time for us to move on. So we started in Bible Foundation in one church, 14 years. The next 7 years, we were in a holiness church. And then the next years, we went into another church that was about the Holy Spirit. This is my husband's steps to get him where he is today. And then we started a home cell group in our home. And when it hit 40 people, the people came and said, will you start a church? Henry went and talked to the pastor, and that's how we started a church. I mean, he'd been trying to get Henry to do that, but he didn't want just Henry. He wanted me too. And so that was the deal. I would be ordained with Henry. But we had to work a lot out, because I was traveling, and it was going to be, are you guys going to be a typical church? Are you going to be jealous of Nancy's not here and being the little pastor's wife? Would you have a problem with her still traveling? And they said, no, we 100% support her. That's what she's been doing all along. Except for that didn't work. After 2 years, they went, we want the pastor Nancy here. We don't want to share her around the world. We don't want her to do those things. And so we started having some problems. And the problems were that the church wanted to let me know that when I'm gone, you know, how Henry is a good pastor. How Henry is this and how Henry is that. And then they would walk by me and go, how long are you going to be here this time? I mean, there was no greeting me when I came home. I mean, my heart was broken. They start having potlucks and pastor's appreciation for Henry. And I'm out there literally working my little bottom off and coming home to get a rest and be loved by my church family. And it wasn't happening. I got witnesses in here what happened. My heart was broken, but I said I'd pay the cost, and I did. And you know, today my church is not like that. I mean, the last one that was a naysayer on last Sunday, he just cried and said, I get it, I understand it. You have my full support. I will continue to pray for you, because I don't know how you're able to do that. He just didn't know. And I'm saying, it has to be God. Would you agree with me? It has to be God. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. I paid the cost. It was worth it. Amen? It was worth it. It was a hard road. Alan, you know what I'm talking about. You go out there with your health issues, you pay the cost, but God brings you back, doesn't he? And he brings you back well. Amen? Why? You're probably wondering, why does it have to be that hard? Because Satan is here. Satan's here. And how many generations do I have in me that made this body the way it is? Before I came into this earth, before I was born, what has our environment done, the way we eat, whatever it is? Our kids today are having so much problems eating foods. They've got all these allergies. Kids are sick all the time. I mean, it's like, what have we done to our country? What have we done to ourselves? You know? And you got doctors down there, specialists, going, I can't help you, Nancy. You're an anomaly. We can't explain what's going on with you. You know, I had my doctor call me today. She said, I need to see you. They got a bunch of more tests in. She said, it's complicated. I can't let my assistant see you. I need to see you. It's complicated. It's not complicated to God. Do you see anything wrong with me?
No.
Amen? I looked the best I've looked in how long?
Amen.
And I was looking good last year. Amen? And I haven't had a facelift. I'm just teasing. So you can sit there and you can decide tonight, and I'm asking you to do this. Let me challenge you. If the world and the doctors and the reports are saying it's this, this, and this, why don't you ask the Lord to change it? It will cost you. I guarantee you it'll cost you. But I guarantee you also, he will be faithful to meet your needs. Amen? Don't be like the rich young ruler. I don't know what stands between you and God. I don't know. But I do know this. If you love anything more than God, you're not his disciple. You would not be trustworthy. And that's for your benefit to know that. Amen? But if you're trustworthy and God is first, and you're his disciple, it doesn't matter what you go into. To live is Christ, to die is to gain. Amen? Amen? I know I'm given a serious, hard word. Or I can get up here and I can do like a lot of people come in and do, but he is challenged in this hour. We have 5.5 years. And you come back tomorrow night and I'll tell you what happened in Israel. And I'll tell you what I think is going to happen in 5.5 years. You want to hear it? You come back. And I want you, meanwhile, tonight to think about your bucket list. If you only had 5 years to live, what is your bucket list? What is it? Is it going to Paris, jumping out of a plane, you know, parachuting, rafting, snow machining on some great mountain? You know, what is your bucket list? Because mine is soul winning. Not one soul be lost. No matter where I go, wherever I sit. Ask Sarah. Wherever we're at, if we're sitting down, the next thing you know, we're talking to the person next to us. And you know what? My conversation always goes to God. Always goes to the testimonies he's given me. I am a walking testament. How about you? And you know, In the end result of all of this, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a lot more friends than you if you don't get on the stick. Amen? Amen? I know so many people. I go through airports and I always see somebody I know. Or they'll say, I saw you in Helen. And I'll go, Helen's in Timbuktu. You saw me in Helen? Yes, I saw you. You're wearing a blue cap. I said, I was. In Helen, Georgia, in the sticks, a way out of the way place. Amen? You're always being watched, by the way. Amen? So behave yourself. I'm not always behaving myself. Because my friends know I know how to have a good time. And I know how to tease. And I know how to play. And I did not cheat. By the way, I did not cheat playing that miniature golf. I wanted to. I was certainly alone enough. I could have did some drop.
You didn't even win.
I didn't win. I didn't.
No, you're number three.
I was number three.
Nice try.
Okay, let me put this on the table. Do you want to go out that door tonight and just be the same person you were when you came in? Are you being challenged?
Mm-hmm.
Is there somebody out there that needs to hear about Jesus? Because when you go to heaven, you're not going to be able to turn that around. You'll be done here. You'll be done. When you go out those doors, can you think of somebody tomorrow that you could invite to the meeting tomorrow night? You do the act of kindness, invite him. Take him to dinner, bring him here. Take him to lunch, bring him here. You do the act of kindness, and you let us do the other three. Amen? Amen? Amen. And I will walk by them while they're working on them. I'll go, 24th floor. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen? This is a small town. You're going, everybody's been covered. No, they haven't. No, they haven't. You know, I'm going to share something. This is going to hurt. But it's the truth. And don't beat me up. Sarah will really guard me when we go out. So don't be waiting to beat me up when I get out of here. Debbie, you will be there too? Okay. Michelle, please forgive me. I'm going to put you on the spot, okay? Michelle, I had her introduce herself the other day, and I knew what she was going to say. And she did. She said it. You know, that Point of Hope is one of the first places, if I'm not saying this right, please forgive me, is one of the first places that she actually felt a part of and included for who she is. She said, because in the African-American circle, they'd say, you're different, you're not like us. She'd get in the white circle, and of course, she's African-American, so they would reject her. And it's a real hard place to be when you don't see color. And I wanted her to say that. You want to know why I wanted her to say that? Because ever since I came here years ago, it was like the Lord was building something. And I have some lovely Alaska Natives in this room that I love dearly. But I'll tell you, there's a lot missing that have come in the past. They're not here right now. I don't know where they're at. But they would come and tell me that I went to school with them and they never gave me the time of the day until I came to Point to Hope. And they went to school with them when they were her age and never crossed over. Do you follow what I'm saying? You got brothers and sisters that live here that you wouldn't give the time of day to, that it's time you start telling them what time it is. And you got 5.5 years. That's what I'm trying to say. And I've had my white brothers and sisters say the same thing. I went to school. Ask Debbie. Debbie, have we had that happen? Where they go, I went to school with them and didn't even know their name. All those years. And this little small town that you got this separation. And what can you do about that? What can you do about that? We got major racism going on in America right now, but it's not like it used to be. It's opposite. The American white people are being treated as racism. I mean, our flag, what represents our freedom and who we are all these, you know, 200 years plus, not very long. But now they want to rip our flag down. They want to burn it. People in California put their flag up in their yard and they go by and they tear it down, they burn it. Or some of them were told that they couldn't hang American flag. Can you imagine that? Do you remember when that was going on the news? What have we done? What have we done? Why? The American flag to me is dear, but it's not dear to them because of all the problems that they have, that they feel like what the American flag represents is there is no unity. And I thought that we had got way past that, didn't you? But here we are in this last 8 years of that president. I'm sorry, but I believe that he filled the fire. You know, I don't want to badmouth that president, but he fueled the fire. He made decisions based on his own hurts, his own rejections. And he is not even full African American. You know, it just blows my mind where we're at. But you know what? You can make a difference in Ketchikan. And you can go over there. Is it Stack? Is that what it's called? Where is it that are your Native brothers and sisters have their own church? Where is that? Where is that? Saxon? Saxman. Saxman. How many of you go over there? Amen. Do you bring them home and have them for dinner? You follow what I'm saying? Have you extended acts of kindness? Amen? I used to love going over on the Kuskokwim, because when I would go over there, when we'd first get together, or when we go to India, when we'd first get there, they wouldn't look us in the eye, would they, Evelyn? Where's Evelyn? Is she still here? Okay, I bet. Anyway, they wouldn't even look us in the eye. It was like they just felt so unworthy to look an American in the face. And I go, don't you do that to me. I am just like you. Don't you do that to me. And I just keep lifting their heads and lifting their heads, didn't we, Sarah? We just lift their heads and say, you have nothing to be ashamed about. And you know, by the end of our ministry, they would be just crowding around us, loving us. Even the men are running after our car, kissing our car, saying, come back, come back. Amen? They just never had anybody that was that relational. Amen? And even the woman that was so demonically possessed, after we were done with her, after we were able to get her delivered, I'll tell you what, she's just like us. Amen? Crazy. Amen? So, if this is touching your heart, if I'm, in my simple way, whatever I'm trying to convey here, I want you to get on the bandwagon, I want you to get on the train, if this is convicting you, raise your hand. So find somebody tomorrow. Find somebody tomorrow and bring them here. Tell them it's a free lunch. Okay? And if we run out, I'll send Debbie to get more sandwiches. Okay? Or Debbie. Amen? Go out and find them. And bring them in and welcome them. Let's pray for them. Let's love them. Amen? Let's introduce them to our best friend. Amen? You know, Jesus says, talk about the kingdom of God. Let's bring them in and show them what the kingdom of God looks like. It's love. It's relationship. It's prayer. It's demonstrating hope. Amen? It's talking about where we're going, our choices. Amen? Amen? Keep it simple. Keep it simple. And what they were sharing up here, you know, I know what Sarah wanted to say. Who is Jesus? Somebody ask you who Jesus is, what would you say? Who is Jesus? Everything Jesus did when he walked this earth was very simple. He talked about the kingdom of God. He talked about what was said about him before he came and how it was being fulfilled. To get their attention, he would have faith to believe, and he would lay hands on the sick and they were healed. Amen? When's the last time you laid hand on somebody and believed for them to be healed? You laid hands on them and prayed for them and they were healed. Do you know that's part of our walk? If we're going to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, if we're going to be ministers of reconciliation, we walk in the gifts that God has given us. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. So, Father, I just want to close with Jesus, if you were here, what would you say? What would you say to us? Prepare the way. The kingdom of God is close at hand. Prepare the way. Prepare the way. Amen? Prepare the way. Prepare the way. Amen? Remember about the man. The young man. Did I talk about him last night? I talked about the young man that had cancer. And did I say it last night? I can't remember if I said it last night or at the other meeting. Remember, he said, I'm prepared, but I'm not ready. I'm prepared, but I'm not ready. Why am I not ready? Because I haven't brought anybody to the Lord. Has anybody in here not ever brought someone to the Lord? I know you don't want to raise your hand. Or have you brought somebody to the Lord in the last 5 years? I rest my case. 5.5 years. You know, God can change his mind. Let that shake you up. God can change his mind by our actions. Didn't he do that with Job? Didn't he? Was it Job? Jonah. Remember, he was gonna destroy Nineveh. He was gonna send Jonah to go tell him what he was gonna do. And that was the last thing in the world Jonah wanted to do. They weren't worth it. They weren't worth it. They were heathens. Amen? But, you know, God has his ways. And he finally went, and he whined and kicked all the way. And then he was mad because God decided to give him a chance. Well, I'll tell you, we're in those days right now. And he wants to give us a chance. And we have been spoiled rotten. We have lived this life the way we wanted to live it. We put so much before God that we are not truly his disciples. Because we haven't got him first. We've got our pride, our life, our finances, our loved ones, our sports, our activities. Amen? We have that all before him. And he's saying, why don't you take a breath, stand back, and repent. And let me start over with you. And get fired up about the one you claim you love. Get fired up with why you even came tonight. What brought you here tonight? What matters? What really matters? Why would I be here tonight, encourage all these people to come, if it wasn't that you mattered? You matter. Amen? You matter enough for me to come and say, hey, and these helpers that came and helped me, you matter to them to say, hey, let's prepare the way. Let's prepare the way. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Lord, bless them tonight. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that says, I don't have the boldness like you, Nancy, come up and get prayer for it. Do you believe? You can get prayer for it. Amen? Maybe you want to come up and repent because you are convicted tonight and you want to be an evangelist. Amen? It's part of the fivefold ministry. And this is what he's focusing on these 7 years. Is evangelism. He's focused on the apostolic, he's focused on the prophetic, he's focused on the teacher, the pastor. Now it's the evangelist. He's back. He's come full circle. Amen? And he's counting on us. Amen? Just say amen and I'll shut up. Father, in the name of Jesus, give him a safe drive home. But Lord, my leadership, let them go in case somebody wants a prayer. And Tom, Debbie, I want you to come on up here. I'm looking around. Do you two feel like coming up and praying? Come on up and pray. Sarah, Debbie, Lisa, can I get you to come on up? Amen. I need some intercessors up here, teams. Kelly, Mary Beth, come on up here. Amen. Debbie, why don't you grab